Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's the seventh running of British Champions Day. We're very excited. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Kelly, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. We're going to go through all six Ascot races individually and then look at what else is happening away from Ascot on Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully loads and loads of bets, best bets. By the time you finish watching, you will feel fully armed to go punting on one of the great cards of the year. Kills, before we get stuck into the races, just take us through what the ground's going to be like. I guess in one word, heavy.
Horrendous. For the straight track, at least. I mean, I think that the point is that if it's unraceable on the round track, which on the outside round track, which it never has been, then it's got to be really, really deep all round on the. And that includes the straight track. Now, the last meeting there, the times were very, very slow on the straight track anyway. I mean, someone said almost, you know, the slowest that they've been since the new track was relayed. So, I mean, it's going to be worse. It'll be the deepest. The straight track will be the deepest ground that Ascot's ever provided since the course was relayed.
Might there be a track bias at all?
Well, you see, the funny thing is they closed it off. So the what they were running on last time, they won't be running on this time because they sort of narrowed it. The maximum field size was 20, and they were all coming over to the stand side. You know, Kimron won on his own in that big handicap. But they're not running on that bit of the track now.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, when I turned up, I thought to myself, this is about 5 yards wide.
Yeah, exactly, and they're miles away. They're over the other side. So, you know, and I think most of the straight course races, they've edged towards the lower numbers over the last few years at least. So, you know, if you're looking at the bias that there has been over the last few weeks at Ascot, which has been stand-side, might not be the case.
And G-Rod, with the three races on the round course switching to the hurdles track on the inside, that should be better because I was talking to someone this week about how you've got all these jumps tracks coming out of summer hibernation, and they're racing on good or maybe good with a bit of cut, and all the flat tracks, of course, are racing on heavy, but that's because they've been watered all through the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to make a huge difference if you've been slapping on the water all summer. By the time you get to the end of the year, obviously you still got a bit of moisture in the ground, then the rain comes down, and we're going to be racing on really testing ground, the straight track, and should be a lot better on the inside course, fingers crossed anyway, because we don't really want to see them coming home at long intervals in those long distance races on the round track, do we?
Right, very quickly, number between 1 and 10, your confidence levels on the Ascot card, Niall O'Reilly.
5.
Kills?
One race, 7, the rest about 2.
Oh no, 2, that's no good. G-Rod?
Well, I was going to say 1, but Kills is... Kills
you can't go that, people are going to turn off. You have got some decent fences.
Right, hang on one second. No, we've got loads, but I mean, you know, look, I would not back anything at a single figure price in any of the straight course races because I just think it's going to be who handles it best. I mean, it really could be horrible stuff.
Okay. So hopefully we could get some.
Yeah, we'll back a few rags. I mean, for me, it's a day of small punts on some outsiders. And round track might be a little bit different. I mean, Chris Stick did say that, you know, earlier in the week, he said if it was jumps course, we'd be watering. If it was jumps racing, we'd be watering. Like, you know what I mean? So it does sound like it's a lot better. He did say it was very soft at Swindley Bottom, but the rest is good at soft, definitely no worse than that. So
right, let's get stuck in then. We will start off with the 135. It's the Kipco British Champions Sprint over 6 furlongs, 17 runners, huge field. Take us through the prices, Niall, and do we have any extra places?
Yeah, we do. We're 4 places in this race, which is definitely needed. Advertise our 4-1 favourite. Hello Humes in is 5-1. One Master 5-1. Make a Challenge 13-2. Cape Iron 10-1, it's 12-1 bar.
Right then, G-Rod, you can go first. Who's going to win the sprint?
It's funny, Kills have just sat there and said he's going to throw in a bunch of outsiders, and most of my picks are all in single figures. So here we go. I think the favourite will win, Advertise, for Martin Mead. I mean, this one was, I think it's pretty much been the best sprint around this season, bar 10 sovereigns, who was absolutely brilliant on that day.
And Battash is quite good as well, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's a 5 furlong horse, isn't he? And Advertise is a 6 furlong horse. So, I mean, you know, plus he's a funny horse, isn't he, Battash?
He is.
Anyway, let's get back to Advertise. I thought that was the best piece of form on offer, that second in the July Cup. I think that was the strongest sprint run in Britain this year. And Advertise, I don't think, would have been suited by either the ground or the course that day. I think he wants a stiffer test and he wants slightly softer ground, which he got here when he won the Commonwealth Cup. He's a course and distance winner, albeit on good to soft ground. And last time he won in France, beating that Brando over 6.5. So we know he gets a bit further than the distance. And I'm not worried about the ground at all. Martin Mead's very bullish about it and says he's worked in with plenty of cut in the ground at home. And he thinks he might be even better on it. So that's a mouthwatering prospect for me. And Advertise has been drifting because people are worried about the ground. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, G-Rod, very confident on Advertise. Who is your first tip of the day going to be, Niall?
Yeah, this looks quite open. I'm just becoming fairly sweet and make a challenge here for Dennis Hogan. Now, he looks a bit defined on form, but he's been very good in the clock lately in Ireland. It's just the fact he put up a career best on heavy ground last time. As Cahill said earlier, this is going to be really bottomless ground. So finding one that will really handle it and relish it, you know that Make a Challenge has already done that. The likes of Advertise, I know Graham was saying he'd be fine on the ground, but I don't think him, One Master, Hello Hume's in, Cape Iron, I know they handle stuff, but I don't think they want it like this. Whereas, like I said before, Make a Challenge is already proven on it. Now, the draw doesn't look ideal. He's kind of drawn around a load of hole-up horses, but I think they might just come up in one group, so it could be okay. One Master was the other one that I'd strongly consider, just because she gets 7 furlongs and this is going to be a real test. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Make a Challenge here for Dennis Hogan. He's one for me.
Niall, for people who aren't completely au fait with the Make a Challenge story, just quickly summarise, you know, this is a real kind of hump ball of the flat, this, isn't it? He's gone from very lowly start to really, you know, being on the verge of a Champions Day win, isn't he?
Yeah, I think they picked him up for $6,000. He's a Godolphin cast-off. He started off in handicap over 7 furlongs and a mile. I think he won one over 7 furlongs, but it's only when they drop in the sprinting trips that he's really taken off. He obviously packed up in a handicap at the Curra, and then he won his listed race, beating a decent horse called Downforce, whose form ties in with a few more running in this race. So, yeah, look, he looks like a massive chance. And they've forked out $40,000 to supplement him, so they obviously think so as well.
Be a great story if he wins. I'm going to chuck a few quid at the Tin Man. Good old the Tin Man with 4 places. Who are you going to go for, Kills?
Good old Tin Man, anyway. One of 3 previous winners of the race and our 4 Ascot Group 1 winners. In this, I just think it should be 7 or 8 to 1 the field. I think it's that open. I mean, I don't, you know, Advertise, you know, does he have the standout piece of form in the race? I mean, beating Brando by a neck. You know what I mean? Brando by a neck at Dover last time. What price is Brando? 16, 20 to 1. You know what I mean? No horse is an absolute standout in this race. So I'll be going to bigger prices. I like Sands and Marley. He finished 2nd in the Commonwealth Cup last year. He won this race last year. He won it quite easily as well. He was a 28 to 1 shot then because he came in with no form. He arguably comes in with less form this time. He's been off since Ascot. I thought he might have had a wind up, but it doesn't appear on the card. Richard Fatty's booked Danny Tudhope, who obviously rised, of course, really well, had about 4 winners at Royal Ascot. And he's got a low draw, which might be the place to be. And the other one I'll throw at you at a massive price is Speaking Colours, who was 4th in the Diamond Jubilee on fast ground, but he's a soft ground horse, normally runs well in the autumn, was 3rd to One Master last time over 7 furlong in the 4-way, which he doesn't get, but he was in the front a furlong out.
What price is he?
And he's 25 to 1. So they'll be my 2 small each way bets, but they're for me.
You're going to play your way in gently, are you?
I am indeed, yeah.
Okay, next up, the 210 is the Champions Long Distance Cup over 2 miles. And for a lot of people, this is the easiest race of the day to solve because Niall, Stradivarius is short, isn't he?
Yeah, he's our 1-2 favourite. Kew Gardens is 4-1. Royal Line 8-1. Withhold 10-1. Mekong 16-1 and 40-1 bar.
Okay, so I guess it's probably all about a bit of each way value against the jolly Niall. So who are you going to go for?
I've actually tried to get Stradivarius beaten on his last 10 starts, so he's not my favourite horse, to be honest. He's going for 11 in a row tomorrow. You'd think I'd learn my lesson, but I'm actually going to take him on again. And with Kew Gardens, he's just the one horse I've kind of thought all year has all the attributes to actually be able to beat Stradivarius. Now, I'd be very keen if it was on fast ground, because slower ground is a bit of a concern, but at least it's not going to be too bad in the round course, I don't think. He ran really well in the Irish St. Ledger, despite being dropped into a 3rd position in a race that was slowly run. He got a big section upgrade for the ground he made up late. He's put up some big time figures, like most notably when he won the St. Ledger last year, or sorry, 2 years ago, was it? Last year? Yeah, last year. He put up a big figure that day. which you can't say for the likes of Royal Line in this race. Like, Royal Line's best time figure is 84, which is about 40 pounds below what Kew Gardens is, and he's only 8-1. I've been already double the price of him. I've seen some 5-1 around Kew Gardens, and he's definitely the one to be back in each way, and I actually think he'll give Stradivarius a proper race tomorrow.
Okay, can you see Stradivarius getting beat, Kills?
Not really. I mean, one of those, if they put it on the out, of course, I'd definitely have opposed him, although I doubt John Gosden would have won him. I mean, his last defeat was 2 years ago in this race on soft ground, but it looks like he's probably going to get better ground than he's ever had at this meeting, and he's still as good as he ever was. I mean, you know, it might help Kew Gardens that the race is almost half a furlong shorter than normal because they moved the track, but I just think he's the best horse in the race. I think Withhold is the one that, you know, if Withhold can get sort of an easy lead, because he can quicken from the front, you know, and he might be the one to chase him home.
Would you be looking to wait until the without Stradivarius markets come out, or will you just go each
way? I'd probably do the wait until. Well, actually, no. I mean, I'd have to do both. I'd have to do both, didn't I? But I always talk myself out of it. I think, well, this can't win, and then they bloody win. So, you know, what I should do is back Withhold each way and in the without.
Okay. Graham, what are you going to do?
Yeah, very, very boring, really. Just agree with the boys. Stradivarius is going to win again, I would expect. And I thought the two main dangers were Kew Gardens, if he stayed on the ground, and Withhold, if Kew Gardens didn't stay, then Withhold would be the one to chase him home. So, you know, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of value in doing the Stradivarius to beat Kew Gardens in a straight forecast, I doubt, because Kew Gardens is clear second favourite. So maybe Withhold without, or in a straight forecast with Stradivarius. I can't see Stradivarius getting beat. You know, like Niowa, it's like all these champion horses I was saying last week. You know, you're always trying to find a reason to get him beat, but he just keeps up turning up and winning, don't he? So, you know, I've given up on that idea now.
You're right, that was very boring. Okay, 2:45. It's the British Champions Fillies and Mares Stakes over a mile and a half. Again, a big stamina test. Niall, a show of betting, and then we'll see who Keels fancies.
So Starcatchers are 6-4 favoured. Annapurna is 4-1. Leeting is 13-2. Arnaud is 7-1. Antonio de Vega, 8-1. And it's 11-1 bar.
8-1 winner, Antonio, for the King. Rafe Beckett.
Oh, how much should you have won last week, Bruce?
We're not going there.
Oh, well, fair enough. This is the one I really like. I mean, Starcatcher's a nice filly and that, but
terrible price.
She's an awful price on what she's done. I mean, you know, she's not even officially the best horse in the race. That goes to the other gods, and well, Annapurna, who's rated a pound higher. She's only rated a pound higher than Fleeting. And it just doesn't make sense that she's that short. Obviously, bookmaker just running scared of Frankie Dettori, and she'll probably end up being that short anyway. But she's an awful price. And the one I really, really like is Tarnawa. She's won 4 of her 6 races this year. She came over for the Oaks. She didn't handle the track at all. She got knocked about, so the jockey looked after her. But she came back afterwards, got stepped up to a mile and a half, over a mile and a half next time on soft ground, and absolutely bolted up. And I thought, blimey, this is a good filly, this is. And then she ran out of colour next time, a mile and a quarter on fast ground. And she was very weak in the market, because I thought she should have been 6-4 at best. And she was like out to 3-1 and a lot bigger on the exchange. And she did exactly the same again. She won very easily. People were moaning about the ride Ryan Moore gave on Goddess, who came from off the pace, but Tarnawa would have won in any circumstances whatsoever. I think she's very good. I think she'll improve fast, and she's still an each way price.
What price is she?
She's 7-1. I make her the better mean.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent stuff. G-Rod, what do you think of this race?
Yeah, I agree with Kills. I think that Starcatcher's far too short, and I was interested in taking her on with Fleeting, who's been beaten actually by Starcatcher on a couple of occasions, including in the Ribblesdale. But I mean, she was given some interesting rides. I mean, coming from a long, long way behind in the Ribblesdale, with Frankie Dettori getting an absolute beautiful passage on Starcatcher, and Fleeting was really running her down towards the line. And a similar story sort of next time at the Curragh, I think it was in the Irish Oaks, when Frankie dictated kick clear, and then Fleeting was flying home and couldn't get to her. Now, there's been a few sort of, oh, well, does she really want to go through with it? You know, is she, is she putting it all in? That seems to be the suggestion. But I don't generally believe in that sort of thing with horses. You know, I just think that they have their level, and if they get given the right ride, they're capable on their day, you know. And I think that if Fleeting is closer to Star Catcher. I think she's got a serious chance of beating her, judged on those two runs earlier in the season. And she bounced right back to form when second in the Lopra last time on very soft ground at Longchamp. That was, I think, over a mile and a quarter, and the return to a longer trip will definitely suit Fleeting. So Fleeting, I mean, at 7-8-1, you could even back her each way against the Fab, and I'll be absolutely amazed if she's out the three. She's so talented.
Jolly good. And Niall, who do you like here?
Yeah, just a funny story about that Pernawa. I came in yesterday and got abused for pushing the horse out to 11-1. We had been keeping it on side, but Paul Keeley tipped it up at 11. We built up a very big liability in a short space of time. So it's a horse I looked at again because of that. And I priced the race and I made her 12. So I think that she'll I think she'll be drifting tomorrow. So you might get a bigger price. The one I actually like is Star Catcher. I know Keels is saying she was short, but I made her 11-8. So I think she's still a bit of value at the 13-8 or so that's around. I just think she's so solid. It's just gossiping with all these fillies. It's fairly obvious that he thinks this is the best of them. Like, she went off 11-10 in France last time. She was absolutely smashed up. We couldn't stop laying her. And she won. Like, she got a nice ride again from the front. But I think if they go even harder, she could beat them further. That's how good I think she is. She always seems to have more in the tank. Like, going through the rest of the field, I know Graham likes Fleeting, but she's now beaten her three times, and there's not a huge amount to suggest she'll beat her this time. Like, she was beaten two lengths in Longchamp. She was well beaten in Ascot, in my opinion. The Curragh, she was maybe a little bit unlucky, but the ground is more in Starcatcher's favour here for me. Anna Pernet, they obviously don't think she's as good. So, yeah, look, I just came down on Starcatcher here. Yeah, I think she's a very good bet. She's probably the most solid favourite of the day for me.
Okay, right then, let's do the Queen Elizabeth II next. It's the 3:20 and it's over a mile. The Revenant heads the market, Niall. Take it away with the show.
Yeah, so the Revenant is our 5-2 favourite. Magna Grecia 5-1. Ben Battle 7-1. Lord Glitter 7-1. King of Comedy 15-2. King of Change 8-1 and 16-1 bar.
G-Rod, I guess with the Champion Stakes and the QE2, they're not the best quality races we've had on Champions Day, are they? But they're really competitive, interesting betting puzzles, aren't they? Solve the QE2 for us.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't be expecting any of these to be recording, you know, huge Racing Post ratings after winning this, would you? You know, like, I think we had Frankel 1.37 a few years back. We had Acceleration a year afterwards 1.31. But I think ever since then, we've been in the 120s, and you would have thought that, you know, probably around mid-120s would be enough to win this race. I looked at this race from sort of every angle thinking, well, you know, could King of Comedy come back? Could Lord Glitters run well? He likes soft ground and Ascot. In the end, I just thought Ben Battle's just better than this lot. Now, I know he's got no form of note on testing ground, and his one run at Ascot last year was behind Accidental Agent when he was favourite for the Queen Anne, and he was very, very disappointing. But his last two runs have been career bests. And that run at Newmarket last time, I mean, I just watched it over and over again because I was watching King of Comedy with the sort of intention of trying to find a way that tip King of Comedy, thinking, well, how can King of Comedy reverse this form? And the more I just watched that race, the more I just thought, well, King of Comedy has got absolutely nowhere near this horse. I mean, he's absolutely pummeled him. And I just thought that this horse might be improving. I know it sounds ridiculous because he's quite old, but just shapes like he's improving, and like you just said, and like I just said, I don't think it's the strongest of QE2s, and as a result, 7-1 about Ben Battle. I thought he should be a lot shorter than that. So on pure ability terms, Ben Battle for me.
Okay, who for you, Niall?
Yeah, this is probably the hardest race to figure out for me. The one I thought was overpriced, actually I've had two bets in the race, King of Comedy, it was as big as 12-1 or so last night. I was just a bit short when I priced it. Look, he was disappointing last time, but he actually missed the break a little bit, and I just don't think anything really went his way. Back in the Judmont, he was never really happy either. He was keen early and carried his head high. I just see that they've applied cheek pieces for the first time, and Gosden has a very good record when he does that. I think you'll just see a much better horse back at Ascot on a track he's obviously run well at before. The other one I back is Happy Power. It's a 40-1 shot. Now, this is purely based on the ground. He just has been crying out for some soft ground or even heavy. He's been running on good ground all year. He's run well a few times, most notably when he was fourth in the Sussex behind Too Darn Hot. And he was actually in front of Lord Glitters that day, who's a 6-1 shot here. So I definitely think at 40, he's the value in the race. The Revenant was impressive in France last time, though. I question the form a little bit myself. Like, I think he's 5-2 at the moment. I'd be much bigger myself. Ben Battle was obviously so impressive last time, but surely the ground is totally against him here, in my opinion. Magna Grecia and Mohada both are potentially top class, but are coming off absences. So yeah, I'll stick with King of Comedy and the each way bet in the race is Happy Pair at 40.
They didn't fall into the trap.
They didn't fall. No.
He was asked to go last in this race because he was hoping one of you two would go for the Revenant and then he'd steam into you. But you didn't.
You're all far too shrewd for that, aren't you? Isn't this horse just about the worst prize of any horse running anywhere this year? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Right. It has one piece of form in France that says it's not the worst horse in this race. And that was last time out in a 5-runner Group 2 when every single horse tugged like mad. Otherwise, his best piece of form is like half-length defeat of Imogen, who's 66-1 shot in the same race. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Yes, he handles soft ground, but so what? I mean, I'm not joking you. Right, he's 5-2 now. He'll be 4-1 by the end of tonight, and he'll be 6 or 7-1 tomorrow. It's the stupidest prize I've ever seen. He did no right whatsoever to be favourite. I mean, Ben Battle is one of those you could be looking at gift horse in the mouth here, because he officially has exactly the same in hand as Roaring Lion did when 11-10 favourite last year on official figures, and he's 7-1. So, I mean, he could be the one, but he did get beat very badly on heavy ground when favourite, the only time he's run on it before, so you don't know. But class-wise, he's miles better than them. I liked King of Change because he's by far, and I think he's the one that's really unexposed. He won really nicely at Sandy, finished second in the Guinea, came back after a break. But that price has collapsed as well. So I've come down to Century Dream. He was third to Roaring Lion last year. I think he's won 4 of his 6 races on soft or heavy ground. Really, really likes it. Been kept fresh for another crack at this. He's run well at this track loads of times. And yeah, that third, if he repeats the third to Roaring Lion, he'll definitely be in the frame. And if Ben Battle doesn't run the form, it'll almost be good enough to win it, because it ain't a very good race.
I think you can tell from the way the lads aren't really agreeing with each other that this is a difficult punting card on very, very alien conditions. And the challenges continue next with the Champions Stakes.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. We're looking at the big race on British Champions Day. It's the 4 o'clock at Ascot. It's the Kipco Champions Stakes. And another tough punting test for the lads to solve. Before they do that, we will get the latest betting from Paddy Power.
So this is our MBS makes race. So it's money back if you finish second, third or fourth in this race. Yeah, so Magical is our 7-4 favourite. A Day of 11-4, Coronet 7-2, Deirdre 15-2, Medea 10-1, Foxhall 16, Regal Reality 20, I Can Fly 20 and Pondus is 20-1 as well.
And Niall, it's your go to go first. Are you going to go with the Fav this time?
I'm not. Like I was saying to you before we started the podcast, just this end of season, heavy or soft ground races, fillies as well after hard seasons. I find it very difficult to back Magical here. I thought she had a very hard race in the Arc as well. She obviously chased a strong pace that Guy had set. The one I'm going to come down on, and she's become such a cliff horse for me in a short space of time, is Medea for John Gosden. Robert Havlin takes the ride. Actually backed her for the Arc a long time ago when she won at Chester. Just thought she looked class that day. And things haven't really gone right for her. She was beaten in the Oaks when she got a horrible trip. And in France last time, she was well back, but I don't know what happened to her. Maybe she just didn't settle. I'm also starting to think that maybe she doesn't want a front run, because maybe that was the reason she disappointed. I think she needs to be held up. I'm not sure what way they're going to ride her here, but if they hold her up, I think she's a cracking chance. That form when she was second at Deirdre actually worked out quite well. Deirdre went on to run well behind Magical in the Champion Stakes. I just think there's a lot to like about her, and just the price she is, I think she's worth backing each way with conditions in her favour. So yeah, Medea for me.
And Kills, is this the race you're confident on?
No, I've already done that, Tarnawa. But I mean, sorry. I'm quite interested in imposing the front three. I mean, it's another funny race. We've got these end of season, Magical, really, really super consistent, but she's run 8 times and she comes in here 7-4 favourite. For a 9th race of a season, having run her worst race of the season on her 8th. She was beaten 10 lengths in the Arc. Now, she might have paid for chasing the pace a bit too hard in the Arc, but, I mean, she's had a long season and she's just come off a really bad run, and it's only a couple of weeks ago. So I couldn't have her. Adabe got smashed in the betting because they thought the ground was going to be bottomless, and he's 11-4 based on a 2.5 length defeat of Pondus at Adock on bottomless ground. I mean, what, you know? Group One horse. I mean, okay, this is a Champion Stakes.
Group One and a half.
It doesn't say what it doesn't do what it says on the tin, does it? And Coronet, third favourite, won two Group Ones on the spin, but has the same official mark as it had before. So she hasn't needed to improve to win them, and she's come down really short. She has run well at this meeting before, but surely Deirdre is the absolute stick out. I mean, she hammered Medea at Goodwood. They all said she went off too fast. It was a fluke. She was 20-1, but then she ran at Leopardstown in the Champion Stakes, and if Ashley Murphy hadn't have got stuck behind a wall of horses, I thought she'd nearly won. In fact, I think she would have won. He literally had to stop riding and let them go and then pull round, and she absolutely flew. Issue is the ground, because she was well beaten at Ascot on the first run this season, but that could have been down to acclimatisation. She has a win on, it says in the form book, yielding in Japan. The trainer says it was very heavy these days, but what passes for heavy in Japan, I do not know. But all I do know is that she has really come on. I mean, you go and have a look at that race at Leopardstown and see how well she was finishing. And I think, you know, if she handles the ground, I think she'll win.
Do you fancy Deirdre, G-Rod?
I do a bit, yeah, but not really to beat Magical. Very boring. I think the favourite will win. Obviously, yes, she was well beaten in the arc, but you know, she did by far the best of those who made the running. They went off too quickly, and she did by far the best of those. And obviously, before that, all of her forms head and shoulders above this lot, because as Kill has already said, it's not a strong Group One, is it? You know, and she was racing against Enable and Crystal Ocean and proper Group One horses. Then she hacked up in the Irish Champion. If she is anywhere near her best at the end of a long season, she's going to win. You know, for me, that's the only worry about her.
It caught up with her last year, didn't it? I think she bombed out in the Breeders' Cup, didn't she?
No, she was second to Enable.
Yeah, she was second to. And we've seen Aidan do this loads of times with these horses. He's a master at just can keep bringing them out, and they just keep running up to a certain level, and her level that she usually runs up to is just far better than anything else in this race. If a long season has caught up with her and she does disappoint, then Deirdre is the obvious one to pick up the pieces. She was massively unlucky in the race at Leopardstown behind a Magical. She would have gone very close to beating her, I think, actually. She certainly would have given her a race. So, you know, Deirdre would be the big danger, but I think Magical, if she turns up anywhere near her best, will win.
It's amazing, isn't it? Aidan O'Brien was turned only 50 this week. I mean, if he keeps going for another 20 years, just think of the numbers he is going to post. It's
Nobody will ever beat them, surely, will they?
Apart from Joseph, who's only 26 or something, he's already had 500.
It's just incredible, though, isn't he? He's absolutely incredible, the man. Okay, and the card concludes with the Balmoral Handicap over a mile. And this is another very testing race. Although there will be some people who say that the favourite's a good thing. We'll see what the betting is, and then we'll get the lads' views.
So Lord North is our 130 favourite. Amadeo Medigliani is 4-1. Kinran 7-1. Conculi 10-1. Biometric 10-1. And 12-1 bar.
Kiels, I think about 3 years ago, I had a big bet on round about this time of year for Amadeo Medigliani to win the following year's Derby. Yeah. That didn't happen. Could I get it all back here?
Yeah, it might do. It's the one horse that's been smashed all week. I mean, I think it was 16-1 on Monday. And obviously Lord North, the Cambridgeshire winner. Be a bit worried about it. I mean, he's up £12 on much different ground and drawn 20, which may or may not be the place, but it'll be probably not based on more recent runnings. I mean, it's a very sort of lopsided market.
They're taking out
chunks. And again, I mean, I just don't want to play when the ground's that deep. You've no idea who's going to handle it. So I've taken a chance on a couple further down, and I think you need stamina for a start. And Cooler Forest absolutely bolted up at York last week. I had a proper bet on the runner-up, Johnny Drama, who I think is really well handicapped. He actually beat the rest by 4 lengths, but he was beaten 3 lengths by Cooler Forest, who was the only one seriously backed against him. And they did, you know, and did win pretty easily. He's got a £6 penalty. That was on soft ground. Obviously dropped back to the mile, but he started off winning over a mile earlier on this season. So he's got the speed. He's also got the stamina, because a lot of these ain't going to get home. So I like him. And the other one is Glenn Sheil. Reminds me a little bit of Lord Glitters a couple of years ago, because he's only just come over from France. He's had 2 runs for Archie Watson. I think Lord Glitters only had one. First run on the all-weather, they got him dropped £2. Then he ran second on soft ground to a horse who'd become well handicapped and is a proper soft ground tool. And it was quite an eye-catching run. And now he turns up here, off a mark of 100. He's won 3 times in his life. It's all on soft or heavy ground. One of them over a mile and one. One enlisted companies running group races in France. And he's probably reasonably handicapped on a mark of 100.
What price are your beasts?
Both 16s.
16s. G-Rod, are you going to concentrate on the head of the market or go further down?
Finally, a bit of agreement.
Which one?
Cooler Forest for me. I was very impressed with the way this one won at York last week. It absolutely hammered Johnny Drama. And as Keel said, I mean, I think that horse is quite a useful tool and is running off a nice mark. And, you know, is well on top at the finish, Cooler Forest. Won that by 3 lengths. Now, he carries a £6 penalty and he's back down in trip over a mile at Ascot. But one of the stiffest miles in the country on heavy ground after they've been racing up this straight track, what, 3 or 4 times before already on the card? The ground is going to be at its worst on the straight track for this last race. So it's going to bring the stamina into play. So I'm not worried at all about Cooler Forest going back down in trip to a mile. And I think he's improving quickly enough to comfortably defy the rise. He's on a hat trick already. I would have had him right towards the head of the market, Cooler Forest, one of the better bets on the card.
Right, excellent. And do we have 3 votes for Cooler Forest, Niall?
No, I'm very keen on one here. Yeah, I just think we could have the unusual case of Aidan O'Brien having one absolutely chucked it in the handicap here, and Amadeo Modigliani off 98. He was obviously, as you said earlier, touted as being a Derby horse. Was it 2 years ago or last year? He obviously had issues. He came back this year and he's been steadily improving, particularly last time when very eye-catching on heavy ground at Cork. Like, with a clear run, he probably should have won that day. He's £3 well in as the handicapper racing £3 for that. I think the earmark this race a long way out as a target for him personally. I see he's in the sales, so it's obviously get a win out of him and then sell him on. Yeah, I think he'll go off a very short price favourite. I could easily see him going off 5-2. I think he's still 5-1 in places. I'd be taking that myself. He's obviously, he handles heavy ground. I think minimum he has £10 in hand based on, yeah, just a couple of different things. He's definitely one of the bets in the card for me. Like I said, I think he'll go off a lot shorter. But yeah, he's one for me.
And he's been properly smashed in the last 48 hours, hasn't he, Niall?
It was one that we priced up anti-post, and like Aidan tends to enter these type of horses and then just doesn't run them in these type of handicaps. But this one was one we laid straight away. So that's why I think it may have been a long-term plan, basically. But yeah, it's been really well back in the last day or so.
Lovely stuff. Okay, that was Ascot, a fascinating card and no mistake. Let's see what else is going on Saturday. We've got Leopardstown, Catterick, Stratford, Fosslass and Market Raisin. There's a couple of really good jump seats. The 4:15 at Fosslass is the Welsh champion hurdle. And 5 minutes later at Market Raisin, we've got a really good 2.5 mile handicap chase. So let's see what the lads have got away from the glare of Ascot. Keels, is it a bulging roundup?
I wouldn't say it's bulging. Still trying to get me jumps head on, to be honest. But yeah, I've had a look at both of those two races. Quite like Monsieur Lecoq, who likes soft ground. Won very, very easily at Fosslass last year. I mean, he didn't run at all well at Cheltenham when last seen, and he's off a higher mark now because he was well in that day, but I still think he's only a 5-year-old, trained by Jane Williams, and I think he's got plenty more to come, so I'd give him a chance. The old boy Valdez, who I was going to back at Chepstow last week, didn't run. He runs in that race at Market Raisin. I think he's well handicapped now, and he's still, you know, he showed enough in 2 runs last year. Yes, he's still got a lot of ability. And back on the flat at Catterick in the 3:25, She Can Boogie really does like soft ground. Ran a nice race last time after a bit of a quiet one. Earlier in the season at Chester, she, you know, a similar tight left-handed track. She ran half a length second to Angel Alexander, giving him £7. And Angel Alexander won the Air Gold Cup recently and is £20 higher now. She, you know, that it's her sort of track. It's her sort of ground, so she'll run well.
Jurid, I'm slightly nervous looking over to see you haven't printed your roundup horses out, have you? How many are there?
No, I have, yeah. There's only 2, and a couple of them are in the same races as Kiel's. They're different. One of my favourite named horses in training, Shitty Balco, is just along with Shitty Bello. You know, I really like both those names. And
why do you like them? Did you like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I just like saying it. It's just funny, isn't it? This horse goes well fresh. He's got quite a good record fresh, Shitty Balco, and has had a wind op since last run. And Donald McCain had he booked up quite early in the week for this race. So I wonder if this has been the target for a while. And he has good form on testing ground. That's Shitty Balco, 4:15. Shitty Balco, 4:15 at Fosslass. And the other one is at Catterick, and it's in the 325, decent class two handicap. Tarantum Star. Now, he's done me a few favours down the years. I do remember backing him when he won that race at Ripon. Forgot what it's called. Big sprint there. Anyway, he's well handicapped. He's £3 lower than his last win, and he's had only two runs since joining David Griffiths from Kevin Ryan, I think it was. And he bounced back to form on his second run for David Griffiths last time out at Ascot. And as Kiel said, it was very deep ground that day. They were running very slow times. So I don't think that testing ground will be any problem for him at Catterick. He finished third at 17. That was his best run for quite some time. David Griffiths is excellent with these sorts of sprinters. And I think that he can get Tarantum Star back to form. And if he can, Tarantum Star is absolutely thrown in on any of his best form. He's drawn 12, but they usually come over towards the stand side on soft ground at Catterick.
What sort of favours has that horse done you in the past? Lent you a ten until paid? Giving you a list down the offie when your car broke down, or
well,
one of my favourite silly racing expressions. That,
well, you know, I love a silly racing expression.
Absolutely. Okay, Niall, what have you got for us?
I have three. Two of them are in race the Keels already talked about. I think one of them you tipped up as well. Yeah, I really like Monster Lecoq. In the 4:15 post last, the Welsh Champion Hurdle. He just looks so well handicapped to me. He was a big eye catcher in the County Hurdle. Where he had some issues at the start, though he ran on really well late, and that was obviously a very strong race that's worked out really well. And the ground should be ideal for him, and I think he's got the potential to improve off a mark of 138. The one that I thought was the danger was the Nicky Martin trained Colonel Custard. He's got very good form and testing ground, which it should be at Post Last tomorrow. I actually just seen prices for another firm were 18-1, which I thought looked really big. That's Colonel Custard in the 420 market raising. Quite like Valdez was just falling at the end of last season. Even though he's a 12-year-old, I think he's still on a good mark and he hasn't had much racing. He switches to a right-handed track here, which should definitely suit as he tends to jump right. And the other one was the 325 Patrick Mosgiel. It just absolutely bolted up last week in a hot race at York. I don't think this is overly strong. I think he'll go well again. He could be the type to eventually end up in group races. So if he is to do that, the mark of 98, he's got a very big chance here.
How odd, of all the races taking place on Saturday, the three of you have focused on just three races. Very strange. Let's see what the naps are.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Rodway.
Advertise 135 Ascot.
Niall O'Reilly.
440 Ascot, Amadeo Medigliani.
Paul Keeley.
245 Ascot, Tonawa.
Let's do Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, Graham Rodway and Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power. Looking ahead to Sunday, where we have got racing at Naas and Cork in Ireland and Sedgefield and Kempton in Britain. And the Kempton card is interesting because it's a one of those kind of landmark cards that takes place that reminds you that the jump season is here in earnest. Usually some decent horses run in there. So we'll see what the lads fancy. Kills, you go first. What have you got for us?
Yeah, just three races at Kempton to talk about. The 320, there's a novice hurdle. Should be a match between Longhouse Sale and Pacify. Now, Pacify was something like 2 from 27 on the flat, but he's won 4 in a row over hurdles, and he seems to absolutely love it. And I think he might just have the edge. Longhouse Sale only lost his unbeaten record in a good listed handicap hurdle at Market Raisin last time. But I like Pacify there. 435, listed race that the new one used to win all the time. Silver Streak really ought to be winning that. It's probably a deeper quality contest than it normally is, but it'll still be favourite and should win. And in the 5 o'clock, a bit of an old rogue that I keep giving a chance to called Land League, keeps finishing second. He's having his second run after a second wind operation. And going up to 3 miles, and I think he just keeps plodding on too late and over 2.5, and I think that might just suit him in what is not a good race.
Someone who keeps plodding on is Graham Rodway. What's your Sunday fancies?
I think Kills must have been reading my notes, you know. 3:20.
Well, you obviously can't.
I don't remember him leaving a 20-second pause between the three and the 20.
Sorry, 3:50 at Kempton.
Shit notes, weren't they?
One of the best better bets on of the whole weekend doesn't run. Storm Coming or something it was called was going to win that.
Don't run.
Just keep your eye out for that. But anyway, Solar Impulse could win that race. The 350 at Kempton. Ian Williams has done wonders with that one. Do you remember that winning the Grand Annual a few years ago, trained by Paul Nichols? Completely lost his way, and it's a bit of a loon. But Williams is good with those sorts of horses, and Solar Impulse is well handicapped. That's not a very strong race, and he likes good ground, which it is going to be at Kempton. It won't be testing at Kempton. And then the 425, as Kiel says, Silver Streak should win that race. Now, I think I'm not convinced he'll be favourite. Kiel says he'll be favourite, but I mean, we've got Grand Sensi and Itchy Feet and, you know, sexy novice horses from last year coming in here. Silver Streak was third in the Champion Hurdle. Yes, he was beaten out of sight by Espoir d'Hélène, but, you know, he's got a really good record, fresh Silver Streak. He loves coming off a break. So I think Silver Streak should be too good for them in that race. And the 5 o'clock Land League for one of our favourite trainers, Stuart Edmonds. We always give him the big up, don't we? Yeah. I mean, he just keeps finishing second, but he doesn't look very quick. You know, he just plods on, like Kiels was saying. And we're going up to 3 miles here. I would just like to see him ridden prominently because I don't want to see him getting too far behind on what is quite a sharp track, because I don't think he'll be doing anything too quickly. So if they can get him up there to the front, Kieran Gethings, if he can get him up there towards the front, I think he'll be hard to catch, because he is. I think he'll improve for the step up to 3 miles for sure.
Well, that is a very similar Sunday roundup, lads. There you go. What have you got for us on Sunday, Niall?
So I have three. Two are at Kempton. I'll start with the 320. I know Paul mentioned this race, but the one I actually like with Birds of Prey for Paul Nichols. It's just a horse I was following last season. I think he's very well handicapped of his current mark of 129. And I don't think the likes of Pacify and Longhouse Sale are really up to their marks of 140. So if it got a half decent price, I'd definitely back Birds of Prey against them too. In the 350 Kempton, the handicap chase, there's an interesting horse here called Snapdragon Fire. Now, he returned this year at Suttle in a terrible novice chase, and I thought he was an absolute certainty. I think I priced him something like 2-1. He went off 2-1. And it just suggested to me that they could have had handicapped on their mind. He actually got dropped £3 from that race. 132, so I think he could be quite well handicapped. Nico de Bonneville takes the ride here. And then in the 4 o'clock Nace, a horse for Dermot Well called Kiss for a Jewel runs in a listed race, having won a handicap that I think was a very hot handicap at Garran Park last time, or maybe it was Fairy House. But yeah, that's Kiss for a Jewel, 4 o'clock Nace. So there are my three.
Thank you, chaps. What's the weekend hold for you now? A bit of work or a bit of play?
I'm working tomorrow, and then I have a 30th birthday party to go to tomorrow in town. So yeah, a bit of drinking then.
What have you got, sorry? A what in town?
A 30th birthday party for one of my friends tomorrow. Lovely. So, yeah.
Blimey. Yeah. 30th birthdays. Those were the days, weren't they? G-Rod, what are you going to be doing? Ascot?
Well, I've been desperately trying to switch shifts because I'm working life tipster, because I'm desperate to get to Ascot. And obviously, we've got the rugby on in the morning, haven't we, as well? The Rugby World Cup. Yeah, we've got two cracking games in the morning. So, I mean, I've been desperately trying to get out of this live tipster shift. But I've been unsuccessful.
Can you not do live tipster from Ascot?
Yeah, I could do. But, you know, it's a fair old way for me to go down there to work, isn't it? You know, I just think, you know, it's right if you're going down there for a bit of fun. But I don't know. I don't know if I fancy the long journey down there, particularly after I've watched two rugby games. So I am working live tipster nevertheless. And obviously, I've already looked at the races and... do have some fancies, so let's hope we can tip some winners on live tipster. Sunday, my missus does. She loves planning these sort of little get-togethers, you know, and I'm desperate to get out of the house on Sunday because we've got some couple coming over from somewhere, and I'm just not sure whether to go to Kempton or whether to go to the pub and watch Manchester United versus Liverpool, because there'll be nothing more that I would like to see than really Man United taking absolute stuffing from Liverpool, because I've never been a massive Man United fan like a lot of people in Britain. So I'm sure that will, well, I'm not sure it will happen, but it looks like it could happen, doesn't it? You've got to say, judging on the early season form.
What, you been allowed to the pub or Man U getting beat? Surely this couple are coming over to visit you and your wife, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but, you know...
So you don't like them?
No, you know, they're not the most... they're obviously not my friends, are they? You know, because if they were my friends, we would be going to the pub or going racing or doing something that was actually quite exciting.
Who do you like best, him or her?
Her, probably. So that's even worse, isn't it? you get stuck at home and you're like, oh no, now I've got to come up with something I can actually talk to this bloke about, and he's not interested.
Let's hope he hasn't got into racing and started listening to postcards.
I was going to say, I need to get your old man's number and send him a text and tell them to listen to this.
He's not interested in racing or football, that's for sure, and I don't want to get stuck not watching the football on Sunday. This happened to me a couple of weeks ago when the Ark was on. We had a couple over, and just like 5 minutes before the Ark was about to jump off at 3:05, they said, oh, why don't we take the kids down the playground now? And I was like, oh no, this is getting worse. I did go to the playground. I went to the playground and then I rushed off to the bookmakers. I sort of sprinted down the street, just made it in time for a neighbour. They must have thought I was the weirdest person going. But
you never have guests at weekends, mate. Stupid idea.
But if you go to Kempton, you might see me there.
Never mind live tips, Joe. I want live socialising with Graham Rodway. That would be brilliant. Kiels, you're certain what your weekend holds?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Ascot tomorrow. I have to, I'm meeting my mate at Clapham Junction before 10 o'clock, I think. So we're gonna get down there and we're going to have breakfast.
You're going to have a can of McEwan's on the train?
No, with my help. We're going to have breakfast in the Stag, I think. And I hope they've got a telly because he's Irish and he wants to watch the rugby. So we will watch at least the first half in the Stag over breakfast and then saunter up to Ascot. And
what's time of first pint going to make up?
Oh, first pint would be around about 11, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Time of last pint?
Probably in the same boozer at about 11.
Rather you than me. And Sunday?
Recovering from said...
By the time of Kiel's awake time on Sunday, I suspect you all might.
No, I don't sleep very well, do I?
That's the hardest bet in heat in the world. Kiel's is sleeping.
I only sleep for 4 hours or so, don't I?
There's nothing like it. Thank you, chaps. Good luck at Ascot and good luck with your bets and your tips everywhere. We had a little glitch last week, which meant Maddie's Monday podcast didn't go out, but she is definitely back. Normal service resumed this week. Maddie will be looking back on the Ascot action and looking ahead to what's coming up. So join us for that. We've got golf on Wednesday, football Thursday. And if you can't make any of those, we'd love to see you back here next Friday for another Racing Post Weekend Postcast.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BGambleAware.org.